Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Oh, sing it again. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Amen. Isn't He great this evening? Amen. I know things looks a little bit different this evening, but in God's eyes, that doesn't really matter because we're all here for one purpose, and that's to serve Him. And I truly believe that it don't matter where you're sitting or what you're doing here. As long as you come to praise Him, He's going to minister to you. If you come expecting great things, you're going to get great things. And I'll just say, if you've come in here and pulled into the pumps looking for regular, we don't have any tonight. We're all high octane. Amen. We come to have a good time, and we know the Lord will just minister to us. So let's just enter into the service here, and let's just sing this old song here, I Fly Away. I tell you, I'm getting awful excited about it and just getting ready to get out of here, Brother Joe. I get more and more anxious to leave every day. So let's just worship Him here. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, your glory, I'll fly away. I'll not die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I'll not die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days in thee now, a land where joys will never end, I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I'll not doubt, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. made my consecration, and I've got my wedding garments on. No, this old world will never hold me anymore, but I'll be gone. For I made my consecration, and I've got my wedding garments on. Are you ready to fly away from here? Amen. Just before we take our prayer request this evening, let's just sing this song, I Only Believe. You know, the prophet said this was the angel of the Lord's favorite song. So let's just sing this song and invite him into our presence. Only believe. Y'all, but it just seems like the last little bit, the enemy has just really been hitting hard lately. And I think it's because he knows that his time has come to an end. And he can't get us on that revelation, but he sure can make our life miserable sometimes. So I know there's probably many here that's got unspoken requests. The upraising of your hands. Only written request that I've got up here this evening is to remember a Bob Bridges that's in the ICU. I don't know who turned this in, but the Lord does. The Lord knows. Let's remember our pastor and those that's traveling over in Africa, and remember them in prayer that the Lord will just be with them as well. I'd like to ask Brother Steve if he would come and just take us to the Lord in prayer, and he's going to give us a testimony as well about his trip over to Korea. We'll look forward to hearing from that, but I'd like him to just come and take these requests before the Lord.
Let's bow our heads, if you would. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. And we are so very thankful for this evening, this opportunity to come into your house and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, this brother Bob Bridges, Lord, we uphold him in prayer. And as we bind our faith together on the basis of the Word of God, we know that you can heal. So we ask you on his behalf as the body of believers that you would touch him and minister to him. Lord, the many unspoken prayer requests that we have, we ask that you would touch each one of them. You knew each one before they became a need. We give them back into your hands now in faith. By the grace of God, we know that you will intervene in your time and in your perfect will. We love you and we submit this service into your hands as well. We give you the complete preeminence that you would have your way in every aspect of this service. We love you and we thank you so much. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. You can have your seats just for a second. Mitchell, I've got a PowerPoint. Brother Barry asked me to do just a quick update on the trip that we just got back from, so I thought I'd do that. And then, Brother Keith, you can probably lead us in another song, then Brother Alan can come after that. So, we were... It's not on the desktop, Mitch. It's already pulled up. Right-click on... minus that. Go into your PowerPoint. Bear with us a moment. Go into PowerPoint. Yep. There we go. So we were in a place that I had visited before, and there's been a couple changes, a couple really good changes, that have happened with the situation there. And the reason we bring it up is because we brought it up before, so I thought it'd be good to give you the update. There's a church in Seoul, which is the capital of South Korea, and that is, just to put it in perspective, I did the math, and Seoul is 25 times the size of Charlotte. The biggest church in Seoul is 150,000 members more than the entire population of Charlotte. So I'll say that again. The biggest church in Seoul, which is a full gospel church, has 150,000 members more than the entire population of Charlotte. That's how big a city it is. And I don't know how the land mass of it, but it dwarfs New York, in my opinion. And it's a pretty amazing place. So there's a lot of people there. And there's a lot of work to be done, in my opinion. And there's a church in Seoul, pastored by Brother Saul. And he has faithfully pastored there for a long time. And he's held the message strong in that city. Brother Mike Nutter, which is the Korean brother there, he has moved away to a group that is now in Onyang, which is below Seoul, right about here, right in the middle of the country. And a group of Filipino factory workers reached out to him and said, can you come and can you help us and can you teach the truth to us? So he said, of course, I'll come and I'll teach you. And that's exactly the break that he was praying for and that I have been praying for him about. And that happened. So it was kind of a quick thing, that quick turn of events that led to that. And now there's a group of about 12 to 20, I'd say, believers all together. And this is the little church. So now after a very, very long time, there's another church in Seoul, or Korea, which is exactly what we want. That's exactly what we've been praying for, what we desired for a long time. So, Brother Mike is the pastor, and this is his wife. And as you can see, my wife is on my side, and she went with me, and she's a better traveler than I am, and they loved her, and I love her too. This sign, they just got a sign, so they're at the very top of this building, and it's called Onyang Christian Bible Church, or Onyang Christian Bible Church. And he just started at the basics, and he's just walking them through the basics of the message. So you see, they still don't, you know, dress exactly right, and he's just going through the motions and just teaching them the truth. And his objective is to get them to Christ, and then Christ will change their hearts. He's wanting to establish the message, which is Christ revealed to us. Isn't that right? So that's exactly what he's doing, and we wholeheartedly support him and the work that he's doing. And it's a wonderful little church. As you see, they've got a nice little building there, and they're able to rent that. And the rent is very expensive in Seoul, or in anywhere in Korea, but in Onyang. And they've got a pretty good collection of musicians, and they love to sing because they're Filipino people. Filipino people love to sing. So Sister Sarah sang for them, and they love that, and they just love to worship the Lord. And they see the things that are being taught, and they really love that. And I've never seen people take so many selfies in my entire life. They took a lot, and we really loved the people, and we really enjoyed it. And then we went back to Seoul and had some fellowship with Brother Mike and left. But that's what's going on. So there's many other things going on, but that's the basics of what happened. And this is an answer to prayer. This is the fruit of many years of hard labor that a man will go through from the majority of them not seeing any fruit. And many of us don't realize what that's like. Brother Mike and sister and his wife are the only other believers in the entire country, and they were steadfastly for many, many years witnessing, meeting with people with no fruit. And yet they stood there, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it. They just put one foot in front of the other. And eventually, you've got a church full of Filipino people who are embracing the message of the hour. To me, that's a testimony. And that's Brother Mike Nutter that's been doing that work. And he's steadfastly there and working and bringing them into the fold and teaching them the truth that many of us take for granted. And I think it's a testimony to prayer, and it's a testimony to the power of God that moves over the earth to find His elect seed. And this is a fruit of it. This right here excites me. And I think this is a fruit of what all of us, and you had a part in that because you prayed. And I know that all of us have prayed for this, and this is the kind of work that is successful in my eyes. There's a brother like that who will stay strong even when he doesn't see any fruit, and eventually something comes of it. I'd ask you to continue to pray for both of those pastors in the country. But at this point in time, that's what's going on, and it's very exciting. So we're happy to have that. Brother Allen, if you want to come, and Brother Keith, if you want to sing again. Lord bless you, saints.
Let's all stand, and we'll have our ushers come at this time and receive the offering before Brother Allen comes. Brother Tom, if you would, bless the offering. Amen. As Brother Allen gets ready to come, let's just sing that song, I Need You, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I lift my hands, I bow my knees, I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord, I need you, Lord, right now.
Let's sing that again. Father, Lord Jesus, once again, it's an honor and privilege, Lord, to be able to come in your house, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. and that we have someone we can come to with every need that we would have, Father. And Lord, I ask You just once more, Lord, that You would allow me to just step out of the way, Lord, and You speak to the most precious people on the face of the earth, Lord. Your lovely bride this evening, Father. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here, but by the grace of Almighty God, Lord. Nothing to me could ever say anything, Lord, that would be pleasing to You, Lord, but may You come and, Lord, and just speak this evening, Lord. Lord, anoint our hearts to understand, Lord, what's said tonight, Lord. Lord, we love You. We curse every devil that may be in this building, Lord. Lord, that You can move freely this evening, Father. Forgive us for anything we've said or done, Lord, that may not be right in Your eyes, Father. We ask that we place it under the blood of Jesus Christ this evening. Have Your way in this service. We give You the praise, the glory, and honor for it all. In Jesus' lovely name. Let's sing that one more time. I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord, right now. I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord, right now. Lift our hands, bow our knees to worship at Your throne. We need You, Lord. I need You, Lord, right now. Amen. That'll be all the singing. Thank you, Brother Keith, the musicians. If you have your Bible tonight, let's go to St. John chapter 1. Now, Brother Mitchell, let's click on that first slide there, on number 1, before we send that up to the projector. St. John 1:1. I love computers and enjoy them, but I also like to just take this right here and take my text most of the time. Because computers are wonderful, but they ain't nothing like holding God's sacred word. We're just going to read the first 3 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You can have your seats this evening. We're going to take a little thought. Now, in the beginning of this, you may think, well, where's he going with this? Well, I'm just going to lay just a little groundwork. So, I'm not long-winded. I heard anybody know who Brother David Momlis was? If you don't, he made a statement one time. He said, the mind can only comprehend what the seat can endure. So, I always take that in consideration. So, we won't be too long by the grace of God. And I want to take a little thought this evening, if you say. But I'm going to lay a little groundwork. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis. And I'm going to see if I can see that back on the back wall. I think I can. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now think about this, God said, first time He makes that statement, God said, let there be light. And there was light. So someone had to speak something for something to happen, didn't they? So God said, let there be, and there was. There wasn't a thing in the world that could stop it. Couldn't anything prevent it. When God spoke, it had to happen. Now I'm going somewhere tonight, so just bear with me. And God saw there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening, and in the morning was the first day. So as I looked at this subject, I dealt with this just a little bit down in South Carolina one weekend, but I just felt led to expound on it a little bit, so I kept studying, looking at it. And about 2 years ago, I came across something in the book of Job, and we'll get to that, that was just astounding to me when I got to really digging into the Scripture, that very verse. But which led me to kind of just start here in the beginning here where God said, let there be. Because in the end, down at the end down here, God's speaking through somebody else tonight. And it ain't just the ministry. It's His bride. So I want to be able to take this all the way back from the book of Genesis and bring this down to the hour that we live in. So, in Genesis 3:14, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the serpent. Now here's where everything broke loose and God's getting ready to curse the serpent and different things, and done cursed him here in verse 14. But he said, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now here's where I want you to pay attention. Verse 15 said, and I will put enmity, which we know is hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, right here is where God, after all this took place, we know in the mind of God He had a sacrifice already slain, according to Revelation 5. He had slain a sacrifice. Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. But in order for God to physically get us back to that point and supernaturally, because of His attributes, He had to let a fall take place. We know that. And this is elementary here. But right here in verse 15 is where God starts bringing things back automatically. Here He has done this to the serpent. He curses the serpent. You know, man's got to work the rest of his life. Women have female troubles and different things. But He already gave us grace right here. He told us, He said, the woman's seed will bruise the serpent's head. Acts 2 and 30. Therefore, being a prophet. Now, this is Abraham, referring back to Abraham. And I'm going somewhere with this because I'm walking things down all the way from the Garden of Eden down to now. But here's what you got to realize is God's whole purpose. We know if you've ever listened to Christ with the Mystery of God Revealed, where Brother Branham said He based that message on the entire Bible. And there was a threefold purpose there, which was God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, which was the first fold. The second fold was for Christ to have preeminent sis. Now, Brother Branham used the word preeminent sis, which is plural. Which is having preeminence in His bride, in His people. Now think about that. If God's going to have preeminence in us, He's got something for us to do, doesn't He? And of course, we all know what the third fold of that is, which is to restore fallen Eve. Well, how can He restore something that's not fallen? The fall had to take place so He could restore it back. But here Abraham, God gives Abraham a promise and tells him out of his loins, what's going to take place. So therefore He says this. He said, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh He would raise up Christ to sit on His throne. Now we know Isaac was the natural son, but the supernatural son was Christ. We knew He's coming through that lineage. And God told him, He said, your seed shall sojourn in a strange land for 400 years. Not one thing could touch that because it had been spoken. Now, when we say something in human nature, we'll say, well, I'm going to do this day, I'm going to do this that day, or I plan on doing this day. But you know what? My words can fail. Yours can fail. Because you know what? Something may come up that will prevent us from doing what we said we would do. But God couldn't do that, could He? When He spoke, it took place. Something happened. Repercussions came. If somebody did something wrong, God had to chastise them. But not one of these words in this book right here will return void. We know that. So I say to you tonight, if all the way through the Scripture, and you can go through the book of Numbers, you who read the Old Testament, and I love the Old Testament. When I started preaching, the Old Testament just become alive. Because you go back and you really see what God's doing back there. Even though it was under the law and they didn't have the physical, the blood of Christ to atone for their sins back then, you still see Christ in every Scripture. Because the whole Testament foretold of Him coming. But what's striking to me is you can go back to the book of Numbers, and I'm sure Steve has looked at it, but you look at the waters of separation. Beautiful picture. You got the red heifer, you got the cedar wood, and you got the hyssop or hossop. Everybody pronounces it maybe differently. And then you got the scarlet. Every one of those represents Christ. And they were sprinkled. And if they refused to be sprinkled by the waters of separation, they were cut off among Israel. So I ask you tonight, do we, and your brother Barry's been preaching that series, What Do We Believe? Do we really believe this tonight? Is the question. How could we not believe it? Because if you get into this blessed book and you sit back and you just read, the more you read it, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little, proving all things, holding fast to that which is good, God will, if you'll yield yourself to it, God will start showing you those things. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes the wordings and things in the Old Testament is confusing. Just reading through them, you know, some things can be confusing sometimes. But when you take the message that came in this hour, Brother Brown references many things back in the Old Testament. When you go back and look at it with what he said about it, it becomes alive. Amen. You look at that scripture a whole lot differently than you did before. So, and you know, in Moses, for instance, you know, Moses come to a place 80 years old, and they asked him, said, Moses, what you going to do? He said, I'm going down to take over. 80 years old. Now, can you imagine, I'm not 80 years old, but can you imagine a man 80-year-old walking down to take over something? In natural capacity, you think he's crazy. I would. But he had a commission. God gave him a commission that he was going to deliver Israel out of Egypt by Moses. Moses didn't do it. I mean, he was there physically, but God spoke to Moses every step of the way and told him what to do, how to do it, when to do it, how to build the tabernacle, how to do this, how to do that. And you know what? It wasn't wrong, was it? It was 100% right all the time. Even when Moses got upset and smoked the rock after God told him to speak to it. God still honored the voice of His prophet. Moses paid for that. He reaped what he sowed. He was prevented from going into the promised land because of it. But yet, when he stood there on the banks of that Red Sea, look at this scripture, Exodus 14. I love it. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of our God, which He will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now, can you imagine what those people must have thought? They murmured and complained the whole time they was coming up to the Red Sea. But yet, you know, going through the wilderness and all those things, not one time did their shoes wear out. They were fed properly. Their clothes didn't even wear out. God gave them everything that they had need for that journey. In one place I was reading the other day, Brother Brown said, wouldn't you like to look in Dr. Moses' handbag? People didn't get sick like they do today, did they? So obviously, Moses was yielding himself to God, and God was speaking through him, and Moses was obeying every voice, every time that voice spoke. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak. Do we not have needs here in this assembly tonight? Do we not need healing? Do we not need financial needs, the spiritual battles we face? Moses came to a place. You don't think Moses ever got down? He did. Just like you and I face today, he come to those things. But when it come time, he said, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. But I guarantee you had some believers when that sea parted, didn't you? And I'm not being funny tonight. But a lot of people, and you look at Jesus' ministry, you look at Brother Brown's ministry, they flock to the healings. They flock to the sign in the hand and the discernment lines. But when He went to the Word, they didn't want nothing to do with Him. The 70 left Jesus. And Brother Branham referred to that as the Ministerial Association of today, when he was in his ministry. But yet everybody becomes believers when they see the signs and the wonders, don't they? But what happened to the still small voice that Elijah heard? To me, that's just as important as these miracles taking place. Because you know what? In this hour, you're never going to see the caliber that you saw in the ministry of Brother Branham. But amongst the bride, you will see those things happen. They may not be in number that they were back then. But you know what? My wife is free of cancer tonight because God healed her. Amen. You know, I'm going to say this tonight, that this just blessed my heart, because you know, when you go through things like that, and I had never dealt with cancer. My mother-in-law had breast cancer. But I had never dealt with it. But when it hits home, you deal with things a whole lot differently than you would for somebody else. And I believe God lets us go through those things so we can tell other people and encourage other people. You know, Hannah was only supposed to be in the hospital for 2 days. And you know, and when she had that surgery, you know, no, we didn't expect that she'd have the lymph nodes and the, you know, they took 48, I believe it was, and 32 of those were cancerous. So, you know, it wasn't physically looking too good. So, you know, when doctor come out and said, we had to do this, I'm glad we did this because this was this. And I don't know all the medical terms. I'm not a doctor. Don't claim to be. But what struck me is I was going up there on Monday, and she come home Tuesday, but this was day five. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Be going on day five. And it kind of tears me up to tell it, but I walked in there Monday, and I could just tell she was just tore up. You know, I mean, you could tell that she was irritated, she was frustrated, because, you know, she's only supposed to be in her 2 days, but here we are day five. Well, you know, sometimes you got to be able to feel what somebody's going through. And I'll never explain that to you until you've ever experienced it. But in order to minister to somebody or to help somebody, you got to get in a channel where you can kind of feel what they feel. And so I was on my way home, and it bothered me so bad that I was on my way home. And I'd been talking to a good friend of mine, Brother Richard Wilson, up in Tennessee. He's a pastor up there. And, you know, and he's always encouraging. And you know, and I was a little frustrated. I was a little down myself because of it. And I'll get to the scripture here in a minute that references that. But, you know, you think about Brother Brown speaking squirrels into existence. You think about Sister Hattie Wright. You think about the little fish that was given back his life and those things that took place. And, you know, and all those things were going through my mind because it's a good little drive. You know, Peter drives back and forth to Charlotte. Brother Josh drives back and forth. Sometimes it can be an hour, hour and a half, you know. So you got a lot of time to think about things. So here I am driving home, and all these things start coming. The Lord just kind of says, well, you believe what my Word says. Why don't you just speak what the Word says? Not that I'm speaking anything any different than what's already written. But why if we believe that God's the healer of all our diseases, you know, and by His stripes we're healed, then why can we not speak that Word and it take place? What prevents us? Nothing. So I said, well, Lord, I believe she'll come home tomorrow. Well, I just kept on driving, got home, take care of the kids. And I'm going to tell you, brothers, taking care of two kids without mama at home is rough. Amen. You know, those little things that Mama does that you don't see her do. You know. But I got two wonderful kids. I can't complain. But I was going through the motions, fixing supper, and I'm not a very good cook, but I was fixing supper, trying to figure out what do y'all want to eat. What, you know, I was asking them what they wanted to eat so I could. Actually, I think I picked something up that night, but. If Mama ain't home, I ain't gonna do much cooking. So, but make a long story short, and I'm sorry to hold you, but this was just a blessing to me. Put them to bed, got up the next morning. Not ever thought about what I said driving home. So Savannah gets up. She's sick sick Tuesday morning and not feeling well. So I took Gabe to school, and she was with me, and I was waiting on Sister Angie to come over and watch Savannah so I could go on down and see Hannah. Well, the phone rang about 7:25, and she said, "You coming to get me or not?" So I sit there and watch things materialize, and not even realizing what I said, God honored what I asked for. That don't make me any better. That don't make me any greater than anyone else. It all goes back that I believe what His Word says. And you know, it didn't stop there. It happened two more times. So, you know, doctor sent her home with a calcium level in the toilet. I mean, it was 0.9, supposed to be, I think, 8.4, 8.6, something along in there. And I'm thinking, I said, well, why is he sending her home like that? And I'd done asked for it. And here in my mind, I'm thinking, all this stuff's running through my mind. And I said, well, if he sent her home, he'll fix the calcium level. That's what I told her. So she goes back to see, get the levels drawn. They're 8.4, 8.6, somewhere along right in normal range. So I said, well, wonderful. And I'm sitting there, I'm praying the Lord, she's praying the Lord, you know. And what's even greater than that, what struck me is how we forget sometimes the things that God do for us. Not thinking about it. So, you know, it went on a couple of weeks, and scans had not come back. They done it. See, she had her treatment and radioactive iodine treatment, and they had done her scan, and so we was waiting on the results. Not thinking about it, I said, it's negative. That's just what come out of my mouth. And so Sister Angie and Hannah, they were saying, we want to know what them results. Because Mom, you know, having breast cancer, she wants to know. She's worried about her daughter. And she says, y'all need to call and check on that. So Hannah says, well, I can't get nothing through to them. So you call them. So I called them, and they said, we'll call you back in an hour. Now, this is 2 weeks. Normally, scans don't take that long to come back. So they call, and Hannah answers the phone and says, we cannot find anything. Negative. Now, what's striking about the three is, you know, we know God's perfected in threes for one. And three always represents life, too. So what was amazing about all three things that took place was that God brought life back to her when it could have been death. And that's what's amazing, and that's why I was looking at this is the way I was looking at it, because I want you to understand that it's not just for Brother Branham. It's not just for these brothers back in the Bible. It's for you and I tonight. I'm not saying that lightly, because, you know, there's so much negativity in the world. There's so many people that, you know, you go to quoting things like what I just said. Well, God did this, God did it. To me, it's a blessing. But to other people, they look at you like you're plumb crazy. But it don't sway me from the truth either way. It just grounds your faith more and more in the Word when God does things like that for you. So I didn't even tell Brother Barry that. I think I talked to Brother Andy and Brother Tom about it, but I didn't want to tell anybody because I knew eventually that I'd be able to tell the church myself. So I want to tell you that God is good no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what happens. And the reason why I went to Genesis the way it is God's faithful no matter what. If He says He's going to do something, He's got to do it. And if His Word says, I've healed you, He's healed us. If the Word says, He said, I've delivered you from all evil, He's delivered us from all evil. You don't have to question that no more. But then the enemy comes and wants to knock you down. And so the whole time that I was dealing with that, don't think the enemy wasn't there. Because when I said that scan was negative, guess what the first thing come to my mind was? Are you sure about that? And that's when I had to put him in his place. Because this is the only thing that can defeat Satan. I can't defeat him. You can't defeat him without this. And I said, Satan, I said, the Word says she's healed. The Word says it's negative. And I said, it's negative. But don't think that he don't come when God's just did something for you that's wonderful. So here Moses was standing there, you know, and everybody's wondering, we're at a standstill. We're in a bad spot, you know. God's not going to do nothing for us. But here God always takes care of what He says He's going to do. The sea opened up. The Egyptians drowned. They walked across dry land, didn't they? Even Moses was so great in the eyes of God that the Bible says in Deuteronomy 18, it said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, liken unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. Acts 3:21 and 22 reference the same thing. Whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all the things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, Joshua did something. Perfect type of the Scripture, perfect type of what we're dealing with tonight. I believe in the book of Joshua, he was in battle. Sun's starting to go down, wasn't it? I'm got all the types in here for it. You can read right along with me here if you can see it. It's a little small. Joshua 10:11-14 says, it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in going down to, I can't pronounce some of these words, so forgive me, Bethron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon unto Hezekiah, and they died and were more. And they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand still. Now let me ask you a question. He didn't go ask God if he could command that sun to stand still, did he? He spoke and says, son, stand still. Now, I ask you not, do we got to go back and just sit there and say, well, God said this? No. Because if it's in His Word, we're not going to say anything that's not in there, are we? So if you got a need, you need healing, you need whatever it may be, speak. Because exactly what Joshua did, he spoke. And in order for him to do that, he had to have somebody backing him, didn't he? Because he is not going to say anything that he knows God's going to be displeasing with and that God would not do. So he commanded the sun to stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajaron. I can't pronounce somebody, so forgive me. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed. Not even the moon went dark. Everything stood still till that battle was over. Unto the people had avenged themselves unto their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now, I'm going to tell you, in a mental capacity, that's impossible. Isn't it? For us looking at that, we know that the sun goes down in about every, well, right now, 10 hours. 8-10 hours, somewhere along in there. Right now it's longer nights. But back then the sun stood still for a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, in reference for these things to happen, for us to be able to do those things, does anybody know what this is? It's a tree. That's correct. Do you notice the center of that tree? It's got a blood stain on it, doesn't it? Now, this is where I wanted to get to because this is very important. This is not your ordinary tree stain. Something caused that stain on that tree. All right, let's read Psalms 22 and 5. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Just tell you something. They shoot out my lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Now, this was the scripture that I came across and I said, you know, I find this interesting because he says, but I am a worm. All right, let's keep that thought here. Let's go to the next scripture. Job 25, verse 4. How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? So I got really intrigued about this scripture, verse 6 there. So I go back and I click on my Strong's Concordance in the Bible. And on the first where it says, how much less man, you click, is a worm, that is a worm. You click on that first context of worm, it means a maggot. Something that, skin worm, destroys something. But the second reference is considered, they call it a crimson worm. Now I'm going to read to you what a crimson worm is tonight. And then we're going to go back and look at this scripture a little differently. The Hebrew word for a worm is rema, which means a maggot. The Hebrew word that types Jesus is used here for worm is talith, which means a crimson worm or scarlet worm. Both scarlet and crimson are the colors of blood, deep red. The crimson worm, I can't pronounce that, so you forgive me, is a very special worm that looks like a little grub, like a grub than a worm. When it is time for the female mother, Brother Mitchell, I got something on my screen and it just knocked me out. It's okay. I'll get to it. Okay, he got me back. Okay, let's go ahead. So when it's time for the female mother to have babies, which she does once in her life, she finds a trunk or a tree, wooden fence post or stick. She then attaches her body to that wood and makes a hard crimson shell. She is strongly and permanently stuck to that wood that the shell can never be removed without tearing her body completely apart and killing her. The crimson worm then lays her eggs under her body and the protective shell. When the baby worms or larvae hatch, they stay under the shell. Not only does the mother's body give protection to her babies, but it also provides them with food. The babies feed on the living body of the mother. After just a few days, when the young worms grow to a point that they are able to take care of themselves, the mother dies. And as the mother crimson worm dies, she oozes a crimson or scarlet red dye, which not only stains the wood she is attached to, but also her young children. They are colored scarlet red for the rest of their lives. After 3 days, the dead mother crimson worm's body loses its crimson color and turns into a white wax, which falls to the ground like snow. I don't know about y'all tonight, but when I read that, something on the inside just said, hallelujah. Because something that small that we would call a maggot or a worm, a little grub, ain't no more than not even a half an inch, is a perfect type of Calvary. And I saw that and I said, I have to bring that in because if it wasn't for Calvary, wouldn't none of us be where we are tonight? Wouldn't none of us be able to take His Word and speak and God answer what we have need of? So, when I'm sitting there looking at this, I said, my goodness, here Jesus was nailed to the cross, knowing that He'd never come down in that kind of state. And then when they pierced His side, blood ran out, type and covering us. And then not only that, but He resurrected after 3 days. And you know what? Because of that, we're all white as snow tonight by a new birth. I had never saw that, so I'd done some research and I found this. So, Mitchell, you're going to have to advance me because this thing ain't working. Because I want to show them a picture. It stopped responding. Anyways, I had a picture. They got a bunch of little crimson worms anchored themselves to the tree. And they ain't but about that long. So I ask you tonight, Brother Man made reference. He said, if you can't read the Bible and see Jesus Christ in every Scripture, go back and read it again. I'm gonna pull it up on mine because it's sitting working. And I know the devil don't want me to talk about it at all. And now mine don't want to work. But that's okay. I done made him mad, and that's just the way it is. Give me just a second. I'll get it back. So in reference to that, and I'm not going to hold you much longer, Brother Branham, in the message I've heard but now I see, and I'm going to paraphrase it the best I can remember it without seeing the quote in front of me. He was in the woods one day. Mitchell's the quote I've heard, but now I see. Actually, let me show them that picture real quick. Click on that and send it up. That's what them little worms look like. That's why I showed you that tree. To show you the reference of what that worm does. And you know what? That stain can never be removed out of that tree. Unless you cut it down. The book of Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'll get to, I've heard, but now I'll see in just a second. For I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. And you know what? I can tell you this. Turn, I got it up here. Matthew 27, I want to read this to you because this really struck me. And behold, the temple veil was rent twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. Now pay attention to this. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection. So I'd say Job probably come up there with Abraham and Sarah and a lot of them, and did not the Bible say that they appeared unto many? So you got three raptures in the Old Testament. You got Enoch, Elijah, Jesus. You got in the New Testament, you got the Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, and Israel. Perfect. Perfect as perfect can be. So Job was sitting there telling us, typing Christ, that though He was going down, He was coming back up. See, Job spoke this. But yet, we read those things sometime and we sit and say, I don't quite understand it. Well, it's got to come by revelation. We know that. But when you see it, and you got a clear picture in your mind and your heart of that, can't nothing take it either. All right. Matthew 27:51, and let me go on down real quick. All right, this is concerning the Roman centurion, I believe, here. Now, he cursed a fig tree here. I apologize. I'm going to skip that for the sake of time. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. All right? We're going to go right here just a minute. You know, remember the Roman centurion brought, Jesus said, I'll come healing. And he said, Master, I'm not even worthy of you to come under my roof. He said, but speak, and my servant will live. What a revelation that man had. Because the Bible says, Jesus told me, I've not seen such great faith in all Israel. I've heard, but now I see. Now watch this. Brother Branham said, see, of course, it was a paradox to see something that seems to be impossible, yet it's true. The sun stood still, says the Bible. I don't know what you people think. That thinks the world was run. But anyhow, the sun stood still. Perhaps Joshua never had tried to figure out how he was going to do it, how God was going to do it. The only thing that he said was, sun, stand still. He said it. Perhaps not knowing what he was saying, because it was God that gave it to him, and he worked. Same thing in Mark 11:23. If you say unto this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you said. But you can't stand there fumbled in your mind and say it. You got to be inspired to say it. Amen. So here Brother Branham is out in the woods, and I'm going to let him say it because he can say it better than I can. Excuse the expression, but that day sitting there in the woods, and God's my judge, and I could fall dead on this pulpit. When that scripture stumped me all my life. Wait a second. Do what? He said, that scripture stumped me all my life. What scripture are he referencing? Mark 11. One we just read. If you say this mountain. And I thought, well, how could it be? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit because of the text here. He said, speak and it will be that way. Don't doubt it. And I was talking to somebody sitting way out there in the woods. No squirrels. Been there for 3 days. There's no squirrels there. And I was sitting in a sycamore thicket. Squirrels don't even come. Anyone that hunts squirrels, know they're not in a sycamore. And I had been sitting there, the wind blowing real hard, about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was thinking again. And it said, you're hunting, and you need squirrels, just the same as Abraham needed a ram. I thought, that's always told me the truth. But this sounds funny. And I got up from where I was sitting, looked all around. Where is that person that I was talking that was talking to me? Nothing. Wind just blowing real hard. And I thought, could I have fell asleep and dreamed that? No, I wasn't asleep. I was sitting up against the tree there, watching, supposed to pick up Brother Woods and Brother Softman back there just in a little bit, around 10 o'clock in the morning. Farmers all out there working, gathering their corn. And I heard it again. Now this is very, very important because what's taking place here. And I heard it again say, you are hunting and you need game. How many do you need? And I thought, now I don't want to overdo this. I'm just going to ask for three squirrels. I want young, three red squirrels. I want them. He said, then speak about it. And I said, I'm going to get three young red squirrels. He said, which way will they come? Well, I thought, I went this far. There's something talking to me here. But he's still not yet figured out what's being said. Just the same way as you hear me talking. And God in heaven, the Bible over my heart, knows that that's true. And I said, well, I picked out a ridiculous place, old dry limb, hanging out there about 50 yards where my rifle was shot in. No, it was aimed and scoped in. I said, the first one will be right there. And there it was. I rubbed my eyes.
look back, I turned my head, and I thought, I don't want to shoot a vision. Now here he is thinking it's a vision now. The Brother Branham's not sure what's going on at this point. All he knows is a voice is talking to him, and that voice has told him everything all these years that's been true, but yet he's still got questions about it in his heart and his mind. And the other one, he said, I rubbed my eyes, looked back, turned my head, and I thought, don't want to shoot a vision. So I looked around again, and there sat the squirrel. I throwed a shell in my gun, aimed up, and I could see his black eye, young red squirrel, and I thought, maybe I'm sleeping. I'll wake up in a few minutes. See, I'm dreaming about this. Well, I leveled down, shot the squirrel, it dropped off the limb. I thought, well, I don't know. I thought, well, should I go over there and look for it? And then I walked over there, and there it laid. I picked up the blood, blood ran out of it. A vision don't bleed, you know. So I picked it up. It was a squirrel. I got real numb all over. Now watch this. I looked around. I said, God, that was you. I said, thank you for this. Now I'll go out. No, he's getting ready to leave. And he said, but you said, do you doubt what you said? You said you'd get three. Now where would the next one come from? Here, Brother Branham is not, even though God's, he knows that God's there, Brother Branham, in his mind, he's forgot what he's even asked for. Easy for the enemy to come in and do that, isn't it? I thought, well, I'm dreaming, I'm going to continue on. I said, I picked out an old post over there and a tree that was all wrapped up with this here poison ivy. You never get a squirrel in that. So I said, the next one will come right out there of that poison ivy. And there sat that young red squirrel looking right at me. I set my gun up, rubbed my eyes, turned around. Again, I thought, there he sat. Turned his head sideways. I shot the squirrel, and then I started to go home. Now look, this is the second time. He's starting to go home. He said, but you said three. Do you doubt what you said? I said, no, Lord. I don't doubt what I said, for you're confirming. Now, here's what I want to get to. This is one scripture that stumped me. Watch what Romans say. He said, not if I say, but if you say. Not if Jesus said it, but if you say it yourself. Now, think about that. Now, here, brother, this is 1965, church. And he's telling this. And he's saying that scripture stumped him. Well, I thought scripture wasn't supposed to stump prophets. That's what people tell you. No, but once God gave him the revelation of what that scripture means, there wasn't no question it was there. But I want you to realize that Brother Brown's trying to tell us, hey, you can do this too. Not just me. He should just pray, believe, and guess what will take place? The very same thing. And I thought somehow I'd broken the channel and I know he's here because I'm almost beside myself, I thought. I'll maybe make this one ridiculous sure enough. I said, there'll be a red squirrel come down off that hill, come right down this way and right by me and go out and sit on a limb. And look down there at the farmer, that farmer. Here he come down the hill, went right out and sat, looked at the farmer. And I shot him. Now watch this, church. Satan said to me, you know what? The woods is just full of them. Now think about that tonight. Here God just did one of the greatest things for that prophet he could have did. Guess who comes right behind him? The enemy. The woods is just full of them. And I sat there till 12 o'clock and not another thing happened. It goes to show that when God, He's the very creator of heavens and earth. I told you I was going back to Genesis 1. So, I want to read this to you. I'm going to read both of them and then we'll close. Now if your life tallies up to the life of Jesus Christ, that is, He said it in His Word there, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt it, but believe that it is coming to pass, you can have what you say. What you say, the only way you could move that mountain would have to be deity speaking. Wait a second. Do you realize who's speaking through us tonight? And it ain't just me, Steve, or Brother Matt, or Brother Barry, or whoever ministers from this pulpit. It's God speaking through you. It has to be deity speaking in order for that mountain to be moved. So what's dwelling on the inside of us? Deity. When you're a son or a God, and I'll put daughter of God in there, you receive God, which is Zoe, God's own life, then you become a part of God. Then, if your objective is right and your motive is right. Last statement. Spoken words, really, one of my favorite quotes. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until He seen it of the Father. Or the Father showed Him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride. And He shows her His word of life. He shows her His word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can ever harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Then I got a big hallelujah. Here is the secret. Now, I'm going to tell you the secret. Whole thing he'd been trying to get over to the church all these years. Brother Brown said, in Christ's ministry, he said, this is why. And he goes back and starts quoting this right here in another message that ties in with that very scripture, that very quote in Christ is the mystery. The Word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with the Word, and she does it in His name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it's germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only His will. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or we keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is Himself in them continuing His word to fulfill as He did completely in His days. All things when He was here, He did not complete all of them when He was here, for it was not time yet. Why? Because of us. We are the last form God takes in this hour before rapture. We're it, church. That's it. We're all there is. Now, we know Israel gets their message. I'm not putting Israel. I'm talking about the Gentile church. We are it. There's no other age. There's nothing else outside of this message that's been brought. Nothing. But when we get behind the Word and we get under that anointing as Brother Barry's preaching, or Steve's preaching, whoever's preaching, and God starts revealing this, it just gives you more ammunition to defeat the enemy. Because as he's been preaching, what do we believe, going back all these last 11 or 12 services and taking the foundations of the message and showing us, do we really believe what we say we believe? And the answer is, yes, we do. So I ask you tonight, don't let Satan shortchange you. Because God said we could do it. And I'm not meaning we're going to go out there and just go to town and start doing this or doing that. But when something's on your heart, God reveals something to you and tells you, hey, go pray for this person. Go talk to this one. Go do this. Go do that. Obey what He said. Because He made the statement, Brother Brandon said, let's hear His voice. He says that if we would pray and pray until our soul comes in the presence of God and sit back and listen to His voice. Because that's the only voice we want to hear is His. Because if that same voice that, according to Romans 8:11, says the same voice that raised up Jesus Christ from dead dwells in you to do what? Quicken your mortal body. So, brother, sister, we're on that way. I've been seeing things, not just in our church, but other churches I know in different places. The things that people being healed of cancer, people... All these miracles are taking place amongst the bride. Not the world, but the bride. Because we're the final voice to this thing. We're the final voice to the age. And if God is in us, we'll produce exactly what He did back there. Do you love Him tonight? Let's stand this evening. I know that was a little, might have chopped up a little bit, but I wanted to start somewhere and come this direction and hope you're blessed tonight, and hopefully something was said to help you. Because I can't help you in my own abilities. I can only help you if He allows me to help you. Let's sing 10,000 Reasons. I'm not the best singer, so Brother Keith, you'll have to help me. I can't sing. I make a joyful noise, but I can't sing.
Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name.
Let's sing verse one.
Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing.
Let's sing God is good all the time, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Keith here.
God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Verse 1.
If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is good. God is good all the time. Brother Keith, put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Sing that chorus. Oh, God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this evening? You know, I was just sitting there thinking, as Brother Allen was talking about how that God is so simple that really it's kind of like a child. You know, your child, they don't care to come and tell you when they need something, regardless of how old it is. And they come to you with total confidence and knowing that need is going to be met. They don't worry about it. They don't think about it. They say, Mommy, I need some shoes, or Daddy, I need some gas money. They know that they're going to get it. And that's the way it's supposed to be with us and God. He already knows what we have need of. He's already got it. We just got to ask for Him and believe it. And I know I've seen it so many times, even in my own life. You know, I dealt with the cirrhosis of the liver for 2 years, and God healed me of that. But it's funny how the enemy will be right there. The least little pain you get in your stomach, he's right there, and he said, yeah, see, it's back. It didn't go nowhere. But then you go get your blood work, and everything's perfectly normal, and you're like, see, Satan, you're a liar still again. God loves us, and I'm so thankful that He does, and I'm just so thankful for that blood, and I really appreciate the sermon that Brother Allen brought to us tonight. And let's just continue to remember him and Sister Hannah in prayer. God has worked with them, and I know He's got many blessings for them. And let's continue to remember our pastor in prayer as he's away, and those that's traveling with him. And remember to pray for each other. So before we dismiss, let's just we'll close the service in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that You peeled the cover off of our eyes in this last day, Lord, and let us see this great mystery, Lord. So many things going on around us in the world, Lord, that's pointing directly to the end time. And, Lord, millions and billions of people in this world, Lord, are totally blind to it and have no idea. But yet You thought so much of us, Lord, that You allowed us to see it. And You made a way for us to escape, Father. Lord, we just love You, and we're so thankful for everything that You do, Lord. Don't ever let us take anything for granted, Lord, that You do for us. Now, Father, I just pray and ask that You'll go with each and every one here this evening. Lord, just be with them for the rest of the week, Father. Bring us back here safely again Sunday, Lord. Be with our pastor and those that's traveling overseas, Father. We just ask You to come down and continue to touch Sister Molly, Lord. Sister Mary Ann, Lord, those that couldn't be here tonight, just be with them, Father, I pray. Lord, forgive us of all of our sins, Lord, and we'll give You all the praise and glory in Your wonderful name we ask. Amen. As you're dismissed, let's just sing that song, Something Keeps Holding Me. Aren't you glad something is holding you? Something keeps holding me every day I see. tribes, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me.
God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of the Lord.